Welcome this fine Monday. Every Monday's fine because Local Matters comes on at 5:30. This is Judy Duke here, and I have a friend with me today that I've known for a few years, Mrs. Joyce Tatum. Good afternoon, Joyce.
Good afternoon, Judy.
How are you, my dear?
Oh, I'm doing well.
Good, good. Joyce is a very interesting woman to me. She's been in many things. I was fortunate enough to have met you. I don't really remember how long ago. It's been a long time ago now.
Probably about 30, 40 years ago.
Has it been that far back?
Probably.
Okay. And what was it, through the Cookeville Summer Theater group?
Yes.
That's what I thought.
Mm-hmm. We did Blaze together.
We sure did Blaze. What's the first one that we did together?
Oh, my goodness. The one I remember the most is Fiddler on the Roof.
Yeah, and I was the fiddler. I didn't say a word. I just climbed around on top of the set with a fiddle in my hand.
I know. It was funny watching you climb up on top of that house and then have to have somebody hand you your fiddle. And
But that was one of the most enjoyable shows I ever did because I didn't have to worry about lines.
The first one we did together was Annie. That's right.
Was it
I
Annie?
Remember. Yes, because you fell off the back of a piano and knocked yourself out.
I did.
On stage. Yes, I did.
But I went right on.
Once you came to,
I came to, somebody came in. Well, it was a break.
Yeah.
I mean, it was time for me to leave the stage. But, yeah, you never know what's going to happen in a live theater production, right?
That's true. That's true. We had some very funny incidents that happened.
We know. Well, Joyce, I know you've been in a lot of interesting things community-wide. And I know you've been through a time in your life that has certainly changed you.
Yes.
Recently, and your husband, Dr. Alan Tatum, you all have a lovely home in White County, and he was a pharmacist.
Yes.
And
he was a doctor of pharmacy.
He was, and was had a pharmacist in Sparta.
Yes, we still have it.
We still have it. I know that. But Alan passed unexpectedly last year.
Yes.
And what a shock.
For everyone, it
absolutely,
was.
Most especially you and your daughter and son. And I know that that had to have been and still is very difficult.
Yes.
As much as I can know, never having walked in your shoes, I can sympathize, I suppose, but not, I can't empathize.
No.
Big difference, you know.
Yes.
Yes.
It was quite a shock. Everything happened within less than 12 hours.
Oh, I know.
And no one... Even the doctors at the hospital they had no clue.
Well, you know, the only thing that I can get this in my head to find peace or resolution for me is that God was ready for Alan to come home for whatever reason.
Yeah.
I mean, it was his time. I know that sounds trite. I don't mean it that way.
I know. I understand.
And I know you're a good Presbyterian.
Yeah.
And, you believe in a hereafter.
Well, right now I'm Presbyterian, Methodist, Baptist,
it's
whatever. Yeah, it's wherever the church. depends on where I am.
You are not originally from Middle Tennessee.
No, I grew up in West Tennessee, up near Realfoot Lake, in the upper west, northwest corner of the state.
Tell me where. Now that's down in the Paris area?
It's even further west.
Further north,
too.
Okay.
I grew up in a little bitty town called Mason Hall, which there were about 550, 600 people in it, and everyone
What's
knew.
What's the county seat?
Well, it sits on the county line. Part of it is in Gibson County, and part of it is in Obion County.
Okay. Well, and then you met Alan. Was he from there?
Oh, no. Alan grew up in Chicago.
Oh, you met a Midwesterner.
Yes.
Where?
His grandparents lived not too far, about 5 miles from where my parents lived. And his grandfather ran the seed feed store.
Okay.
And Alan used to come down in the summers. And I didn't think too much of him when I first saw him. He had long hair and he was definitely a hippie. And actually, he had hair. For those of you that don't know, Alan lost it.
When he married Joyce.
Oh, yeah.
No, I wouldn't say that. I know he loved you dearly. I didn't know that.
Yeah, when we had teenagers, his hair started falling out. So that
But your daughter, Jennifer, is a pharmacist,
yes,
a doctor of pharmacy, and she is now at the Sparta
Yes, store. She and I and own it together.
Okay.
And right. run the store. Our son is a pharmaceutical, I guess you could say he's vice president in charge of marketing for a company that is based out of Trenton, New Jersey. And then he gets to live in Huntsville, Alabama. He is married to a nurse, and they have three children. And then our other daughter, the one that we adopted, is a compounding technician for...
Runs in the family.
It certainly does. So you can imagine when we get together, someone's talking about drugs at some point in time.
Absolutely. Well, that's not the only thing you did as a family.
No.
And you and Alan and your children have represented to me, knowing now that Alan was from, and I did know he was from the Midwest, actually, but you are a typical Southern family. You do things and did things as a unit.
Oh, yeah. Definitely. I mean, still do.
Because, but yes, you do. Because you've just recently gotten off of a trip with your daughter.
Yeah.
And I thought that was wonderful that you're continuing on, even though part of your heart and part of your life, a big part of it, is no longer with you.
That's true. I do travel with the kids whenever they invite me.
I'd invite myself every time the car left. You don't do that, Joyce.
There are times where I need a break from them, too.
Okay, I hear you. Every mother needs that break.
Yes.
Even if it's going to the bathroom and locking the door, yeah?
Yes. Oh, yeah. I've done that. Our house has several bathrooms in it, so whenever I get a little TO'd with one of them, I just go in the nearest one, lock the door, and say, Mama's busy.
Those mothers out there listening, they're going to identify with what we're talking about for sure. Absolutely. You got to have a little Judy time and a little Joyce time, don't you? Even if it's only one child, I still think you got to have a little time for yourself. But anyway, talking with Joyce Tatum today, and Joyce met Alan. Where exactly? If he was from Chicago and you're from a little place I've never heard of up in
Mason North, Hall.
Okay.
It's close to Union City. If you've ever heard of Discovery Park.
I've been there.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
Discovery Park is
great
run
place.
By a friend of mine.
No
it's
kidding.
His family that runs the place up there, the Kirklands.
Okay.
So
yes.
I used to work for Kenny.
Did you really?
Oh, yeah. Yes.
Being rather personal, I was there, and they have a wonderful slide there that looks like a baseball player. And I went down that thing, cracked my tailbone. That's a very painful thing to get over. But I had a great time.
The log house that sits there belonged to my fourth grade teacher.
Get out of here. I had a fried pie there.
Oh, yeah. Oh, man, those things are so good.
Aren't they delicious?
Yes.
I mean, they're right there, and you're in this log cabin, and, you know, how much more Southern can you get?
That's true.
That is true. So you met Alan.
Mm-hmm. At the seed feed store where his grandfather was, because I used to go with my dad all over the place, and daddy would go to get seeds or to get fertilizer or just to, sometimes daddy needed to get away too, and he would walk the aisles and things and,
sure.
you know, look at flowers and things like that and say, oh, your mama'd like that. It's like, well, let's get it. No, not today.
So you met Alan at the feed store.
Yes.
With his long hippie hair, and you weren't too impressed.
No, I wasn't impressed at all. He talked funny.
Are you saying our Midwestern friends have an accent?
Yeah.
And we don't.
Oh, yeah, right. But anyway. He remembered seeing me at one time, but we really didn't get to know each other until his parents moved down here. They built a house in Kenan. His father was originally from Kenan. Well, his mother was, too, for that matter. Both of them were from Kenan. And Alan finished out his senior year of high school there at Kenan High School. And I saw him again there and still didn't like him. So I still,
okay, well, now you had two children by the man, and I know you married him. So, were you all married when he went to pharmacy school?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah,
so you
to pharmacy school, but not to undergraduate school.
Okay.
I went to school at UT Martin, and Alan went to school at UT Martin. That's
okay.
where he did his undergraduate work. In fact, my suite mate was Pat Head Summit.
So. Well, I am impressed now.
Yeah, well, I wasn't.
You weren't?
Well, she liked to bounce that basketball in her room. at all hours of the day
and night. Well, no wonder she was so good, but I guess that would get on your last nerve.
Especially if you're trying to study. I took it away from her one night and told her I was going to put it where the sun didn't shine if she didn't put it up.
So Pat Summitt was your suite mate at UT Martin.
Yeah.
And we're not going to talk about
quarter.
Pat. For a quarter.
We were on the quarter system back then.
Back then, absolutely. So was I when I went to college. But anyway, you married and then went to pharmacy school, and then somehow or another you ended up in Cookeville.
Well, long story. Alan finished up his undergraduate work. We got married. We got married on the campus at UT Martin. And band, Alan was a member of the band there at the university, and they just happened to be rehearsing, and so they played for our wedding out in the field.
How neat.
Oh, yeah. We've had some wild adventures. But when he finished up his undergraduate work, he was not accepted into pharmacy school immediately. They lost his transcript. So we went to Chicago, and we lived up there for almost 2 years, and he was accepted. His was the very first one that was accepted the following year. So we ended up moving with a six-week-old baby, our daughter Jennifer, and moved to Memphis. And that's where our son was born. We moved from there to Sparta. We actually started across the state looking at different pharmacies, or he did. I just looked at the town. But we ended up in Sparta, and then the rest, as they say, is history.
Talking with Joyce Tatum, we've gotten a little bit of her background already this morning. So what we're going to do now is to take a break, Joyce, and let our sponsors have a few words to say. So stay with us, and we're going to talk about storytelling and book writing and some of these other and community volunteerism that Joyce has lived with and is still continuing to do these things. So hang in there with us, and we'll be right back.
What's so important about shopping with locally owned businesses?
When you shop local, your hard-earned dollars stay here in the community, helping to benefit your friends and neighbors, local schools, roads, and all aspects of community life.
But what happens to my money if I spend it online or at a national chain store?
In most cases, the profits go far away, out of state, corporate headquarters, or even overseas.
It doesn't take any extra effort to shop local. Office Mart on South Jefferson and Cookeville is your locally owned office furniture and supply store. For over 35 years, they've been proud to serve businesses in the Upper Cumberland with quality and value. You get real customer service, too. And unlike shopping online, you can actually see and try out the large inventory of office furniture in their showroom. And when it's delivered, it's not a box on your step. They're glad to install and set up everything. Office Mart. There's no other locally owned office store in the region. South Jefferson Avenue across from Hardee's. Shop local at Office Mart.
We are back, and you support our sponsors, and we'll keep coming to you at 5:30 Monday through Friday. Judy's on Monday. Other people are hosting and hostessing in the rest of the week. So talking with Joyce Tatum here. Joyce, we talked a little earlier about your family unit doing things together. You've traveled together. You continue to do that. I know one thing about you and Alan that some people may not know, because you all both have a giving, loving heart. And I know that you have helped more than one who needed medical supplies, et cetera.
Yes.
And this was done very quietly.
Yes.
Without accolades or anything like that. Actually, I think that's exactly what the scriptures tell us, you know, that we should be doing. But I want to thank you on behalf of my hometown, Cookeville.
You're welcome.
For you and Alan, and I'm sure your children,
they do the same thing where they live.
I'm sure, because you don't have children that don't follow. Well, you do, but most of them follow their parents' example. So you set a very good one in helping those in need, whether it be medical supplies or food or whatever the necessity might be. You spotted it and you answered it. You went to it. In addition to all of that that you do, you've got your business, and he ended up eventually with his own business. And we were talking during the break about him starting his career at the pharmacy that used to be in the old Cookeville Mall down where Penny's is.
Right.
In the, that's what was we called the. That was the first mall in Cookeville.
It was.
A strip mall, any kind of mall.
Yes, he did a little bit of everything from cleaning the suntan booth to filling prescriptions.
Whatever he needed to do. That's what we have to do sometimes in our job. But I also know that you have a keen interest in theater, which we kind of hit upon, how we met. But you also have an interest, that which doesn't surprise me in the least, in storytelling.
Yes.
And where did that come from?
I started as the first storyteller for the Putnam County Library.
There you go. There's always a start.
Yep. And I did the children's library. I did the storytelling for them. We started out once a week. Now I think, I'm not sure exactly how many times a week they do it now, but I know it's expanded tremendously. Mm-hmm. And when I first started out, I averaged maybe 6-7 kids. By the time I finished, by the time I left there, we were averaging 25, 30, sometimes even 50 kids at story time.
All right, and I have failed to mention this, so I'm going to go back just a bit. You're a teacher.
Yes.
By education.
Yes.
And so you were in a classroom.
I was the director of the Cumberland Presbyterian Nursery School.
Nursery school for a number of years. So, well, why not be a storyteller?
Because you have to be with children.
You do. You have to be creative and you have to be interesting. Mm-hmm. And I was watching on the Today Show here one day this week, and wow, they had a gal on that she was a teacher, a scientist. She taught science, and she had the most interesting, you know, her energy level was unbelievable, and they had her out on the plaza doing, if you watch the Today Show, all these wonderful experiments that she did in class, and where things would smoke would come out and something, you'd pour two things together and they'd turn colors and kids just oohed and aahed, and so did the adults, including me sitting in my living room. But anyway, so it's a natural, you read to them, you tell them stories, and out of your love for that came books.
Yes.
So you're an author too.
Yes. I have two books out with Sue Ellen Alford.
Who's Sue Ellen Alford?
Sue Ellen is a retired professor. She's Dr. Sue Ellen Alford from Tennessee Tech. She's a retired English professor from over there.
Okay.
And she and I do storytelling together. We've written two books together. We have a third that we're working on right now.
Do you all, and I've read your book, one of them, the first one.
Oh, okay.
Well, you signed it. You gave me a copy.
Oh, that's right. I did, didn't I?
Yes, you did. People have said that I'm a storyteller somewhat. Well,
you are.
I am. I know that. But not quite like you are. Where do you get all the stories? Now, I know the answer, but I don't think my radio audience may understand. If you are a professional storyteller, where does your material come from? Are these stories you've heard, or have you made them up, or share that?
Some of them are from personal experience.
Okay, that's the
having
best.
Lived as long as I have lived, I have a little bit of personal experience. When you work with children, you get a lot of stories.
Don't you, though?
Oh, yes. Some of them are true. Some of them aren't.
Exactly. My daughter teaches the younger children.
Yes. And then you also get stories from other people. Sometimes when I'm doing a storytelling session somewhere, someone will come up to me afterwards and they'll say, "Oh, do I have a story for you?" And they'll proceed to tell you these stories. Wow, that's really good. Do you mind if I use that? And they give us permission to use their stories. And that in the books, both of the books, we have stories from other people too.
Okay, and I know that you give them credit.
Mm-hmm.
But and you probably give them credit when you do this orally and not just write down, because that's the right thing to do.
Yes,
that's what we are taught to do or should do. But I don't have any training at all in storytelling. I have a vivid imagination and can lie real well.
Sometimes storytelling comes naturally to people, as it does to you, and people tell me that I have it. I do have some training.
There you go.
And there is a university in East Tennessee that has storytelling. You can get a degree.
That's right. I've met some of those folks.
Yes.
Up in Greenville, if I'm not mistaken.
That's right.
It's Tusculum College, is it not? They do at Tusculum.
Yeah, and East Tennessee State also has.
Okay.
Storytelling. Right.
That's now. Pretty cool.
Yes, it is. But I have been very fortunate to be able to travel and do storytelling. I've done storytelling on Indian reservations in South Dakota. I have done storytelling in front of a professional conference that was held in San Diego, California. Mm-hmm. I've done storytelling at the Boston Public Library in Boston, Massachusetts. Storytelling in Alabama, Texas.
Been all over the United States with your
and it's
talent
fun.
In this area. And you know, it's you have to have enthusiasm to be a storyteller, even if you don't tell funny stories. And I've been to Jonesboro two or three times where the National Storytelling Festival. Love doing that. Just love doing it. Met some delightful people there. You know, so much of what they tell is from personal experiences, and then they elaborate.
Oh, yeah.
You have to do that, or lie. It's really not lying.
No,
it's
we don't
elaborating.
Call it lying now. We no. call it stretching the truth.
We're going to stretch. You don't tell them you're, you know, stretching the truth. You just make them believe it. Not make them up. Come on. You know what I'm saying.
Oh, yeah. You take your personal experience and you elaborate a little bit on it sometimes. So the point is, the audience never knows what part you're elaborating on. Most of mine, though, are pure truth. My growing up years.
Most of mine are not.
I grew up with four older brothers.
Oh,
and
wow.
My nickname was Trouble. And
got in trouble.
Oh, you know, I learned the hard way that it's illegal to use a slingshot and a rock and hit the mailman. That's
no
a federal offense.
Federal offense. Holy moly.
Yeah, I learned that one the hard way.
I wish you could see Joyce's expressions. You got to have facial expressions to be a good storyteller. That you have. And among other talents. But anyway, you'll probably do that until you meet Alan in heaven.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And you have grandchildren now, I know.
Oh, yes.
What do you have?
Six.
Phew. I was going to say four. I missed two of them, I guess. But I'm sure you have shared stories with them. I hope you have, because I have discovered that so many young adults whose grandparents have passed on, I hear them say, oh, I wish I'd listened to Grandma or Grandpa when they were telling me such and such.
Sue Ellen and I taught a storytelling class at Tennessee Tech under Mrs. Mullins, who was over there.
Oh, yeah.
In the
Charlene Mullins.
Yes, that's right.
Home Economics Department.
Yes.
Or
yes.
They don't call it that.
No.
Human Ecology or something.
Yeah, it's Human Ecology now.
Yeah.
But after the sessions were over with, and we, one of the assignments that the students had to do was to find the oldest living member of their family, talk to them, and get stories from them.
Great.
And then they had to come back and they had to tell us the stories. Well, wow, some of them were absolutely fascinating. It's like, wow, that's really good. But one young lady, about 6 weeks after everything was over with, contacted me and she was crying. And I said, are you okay? And she said, I just want to thank you for what you did and for the assignments that you gave me, because she had gone to her grandmother and she had talked to her grandmother. She had no idea what all her grandmother had been through, and her grandmother died 2 weeks later.
Oh, wow.
And she would have never had those stories if she had not had the assignment.
Exactly.
So after she did the assignment, she went back to her grandmother and had asked her for more stories. And you can't always go to an older person and say, tell me a story, because they'll say, oh, I don't know anything. I don't have any stories to tell. Yeah. Well, what you have to do is to say, hey, Grandma, what was the weather like on the day you got married?
Yeah, or what did you do for fun when you were young?
Yeah. When was the first time you saw an airplane?
That's right. Absolutely. You see, Joyce, but that's part of your giving back to your community, and you have done that so well. Our time has gone, if you can believe that.
Oh.
Well, I know. I'm going to have you back and let you tell some of your stories.
Oh, I'd love to.
Oh, wouldn't that be fun? I'd just sit back and wouldn't even make a peep except for laughter. or oh, a tear or two. I've known that to happen.
Your name might come up in one or two stories.
Oh, let's hope not. Let's hope not. Joyce, thank you so much for being with us.
Quite
I appreciate
welcome. Thank you
dear.
For having me.
You bet. Another time. See you next week. Well, nah. You'll hear me next week. Bye-bye. Hang tough tonight.